Hi everyone, I'm Helen. If you don't know me, I am a focus staff worker. This is my three years and 5 months in Credo. Exactly 5 months, I think. I love working here because it energizes me and also humbles me down as I see God at work every day in this university. And if I were to complete that sentence, wise leadership is, my one is pretty long because I get time to think about it. Eh? So it goes like this. Wise leadership is not defined by standards given by this world. It is instead shaped and directed by amazing grace of God. What I want to say is that when considering wisdom and leadership, we should not fixate our mind on achievement, skills, and intellect. Instead of focusing on the things that are temporary, we should turn back to God, who is constantly at work. And it is out of His grace that He seeks, and it is out of His grace that He saves. Throughout the life of story of Joseph, we see that God has never departed from his life, whether good or bad times. God chose to do that because it is not about how good Joseph is, but it is purely out of God's grace. In fact, we also see God's presence in and His mighty hand was at work in all times in his life, and even Joseph's father's life, Jacob. Similarly, God chose him not because of his good conduct, but it's based on his grace for his people. Please keep your zin. I have like a funny accent, but this is it. Keep it open. And refer back to, we're going to refer back to the passage quite frequently tonight. Feel free to underline, jot notes. If you're a visual person, draw pattern. If you feel a bit like tired, I encourage you to draw as well, just to keep yourself awake. And if you have any question related to tonight's talk, I'd love to encourage you to let me know or let other staff or public talk people know in this little form. Write down your name, your contact email or phone, whatever you prefer, and a question if you have any. So keep your zine open. And also have this ready if you have any questions. Cool. So after living in Egypt for 17 years, Jacob, which is Joseph's father, has finally reached to his final days. He was sick in his bed and waiting to die. When Joseph heard about this, he actually took his two sons to go and see him, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, like if you not know about the context, Manasseh and Ephraim was the son who born to Joseph after he was sold and sent to Egypt. So Joseph wanted his two sons to see his grandfather because that's probably the last time that he's going to see their granddad. And more importantly, that might also be the last chance for them to claim the blessing from Jacob. Joseph believes that this is the best thing that he can do as a father for his two sons. My father does not express his affection to his children naturally and not very often as well. But when he does, sometimes it turns out to be very awkward, as dad does. For example, whenever we travel on an MTR in Hong Kong, dad would do the most awkward thing in the world, which is he would stand very close to the yellow line. We do have that in our platform as well, the yellow line on the platform. Wait until the train comes. He will race into the carriage, use every part of his body to secure a spot for the five of us. So that is so awkward. Like, to be honest, I never really appreciate that when I was young. I felt very embarrassed by him in the train carriage. But later, I know that all he wants to do is to try his very best to secure a seat for all of us. And this is the way he showed his love, his affection for his wife and his children. Now for Joseph, besides that he wants to see his father for the last time, he also wants his two sons to be blessed by Jacob. Well, I guess this is probably the special seat that Jacob wants to secure for his two sons. Eh? What Joseph did was very normal, because it was a very well thought decision that he'd made for good for his son. However, there are many things that we do not know and things that we can't control. So at the end, it may turn out to be something that is totally out of what we, like different, totally different to what we originally hoped for. Similarly, in leadership, we rely on human wisdom that makes judgment and decision, that kind of leadership or that teamwork will highly likely to go into failure. However, out of God's grace, he can change and make the worst situation to be one that glorifies him. So the life of Jacob and Joseph are actually the two very good examples of how God used different life situations to bring about his saving grace. As Jacob approaches to the end of his life, the first group of people that he saw and blessed it was actually his favorite son, Joseph, and his Joseph's son, his grandson, Manasseh and Ephraim. When he saw them, if you go back to... he's not in that. Okay. So when he saw them, he actually kissed them and embraced them. Which is in verse 10, sorry. Yes, it's in your scene. And then immediately Jacob said to Joseph, he actually said that, "I never expect to see you again. And now God has allowed me to see your children too." So this is Jacob is overwhelmed with joy at this moment when not only seeing Joseph, his favorite son, but the son of Joseph as well. This is like, whoa. In this very last day of his life, he remembered all things that God has done in his life. It's like the story of the prodigal son in the New Testament, in the Gospel, where the son returns to the father. The father's longing is satisfied and joy is complete, as he says in Luke 15, verse 22 to 24. But the father said to his servant, "Quick, bring the best robe and put on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine is dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Jacob remembered God when he sees Joseph and his grandson. Looking back in Jacob's life, he was crafty and selfish. God blessed him through Isaac, which is Jacob's father. When he was still a fugitive, running away from his brother, God promised him with people and land. When he was anxious and unsure about the reconciliation, how he reconciled with his brother, God has comforted him and actually protected him along the way through the until the relationship is reconciled. As Jacob says earlier in chapter 47, verse 9, it goes like that: "The years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. My years have been few and difficult." Constantly at this time of his life, he's been reflecting He now can stand as the father of the 12 sons, the head of many descendants until this last moment was purely by the grace of God. As what Jesus says to says in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It was God who has shaped me to be the wise leader. It was God who has shaped him, not me, to be the wise leader. Yes. Another example besides the two is about the grandson. It's about the adoption of the two sons. So the adoption for the two sons tells us two things, based on what I think. One, this is that they will be received the same privilege and receive their portions of inheritance as other sons of Jacob. It says in Genesis chapter 48, verse 5. Second is that they received the blessing from Jacob for protection and for people. It says in chapter 48, verse 16. In other words, Jacob has appointed them to be leaders of their future tribes, of their future people. As he foretold in Genesis chapter 48, verse 16 and 20, these tribes will grow and prosper. Though Jacob, through Jacob, God has again chosen Manasseh and Ephraim to be the leader of his people. God has shown his outrageous grace to these two young men through Jacob. They are loved, adopted, and blessed. It's like us who were once against God, but now through Jesus that our sin may be forgiven. It was by his grace that through faith, sinner can be saved. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We were once apart from God, but through Jesus, we're now safe." One last example is Joseph. As we have already seen earlier in Genesis, that he was well trusted by Pharaoh, and God given great power, authority, and wealth in Egypt. What he owns and manages, both people and the land, is so much greater than what his father has. So to a certain extent, I'm guessing Joseph may think that he's kind of better than his father. He may think that his father's judgment is a little bit off because he's old, his eyes are weak, he's in bed, dying. The way he jumped in and take hold of his father's hand to move Ephraim's head, so take the hand, move away from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head in Genesis chapter 48, verse 17 to 18, was an obvious sign of Joseph despising his father Jacob. He thought that his father must be too sick or too blind to identify who was who. So he decided to help by bringing his two sons closer to Jacob, place them on the corresponding hands and head, so make sure that his father get the position right. If good quality is something that requires for wise leadership, I think Joseph has probably already failed the test because he despised his father and tried to, you know, judge his father by not trusting God. However, God once again glorifies himself, his power, wisdom, and grace through this limitation of Joseph. As a result, the younger one, Ephraim, received the greater blessing than the older one. It was by grace, the undeserved one, to receive the more blessing and be made greater. That's what Jesus say in Matthew chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, the last was the first, and the first was the last. When Jesus eats with sinner, and when he tells the three lost and found parables, he already had in mind to save those that who are undeserved, as he always have. God has never changed. Even when human changes all the time, he will never change. Just to finish this, I'd like to remind us that wise leadership is not defined by human measures nor tradition, but rather it is shaped, again, I can't repeat enough, the grace of God. This is probably a counter-cultural statement when the world today keep on telling us that that we got to, you know, do a good portfolio, resume. When we get to work, we've got to climb up the ladder, backstepping, make sure that you have good network, etc. But trusting God who loves you, trusting the God that who loves you. He is the God that who sends Jesus to die on the cross for us, so that through believing him, we can be redeemed. This is the God who guide, protect, provided for Jacob, Joseph, Manasseh, Ephraim. He is still the same God who is living and in control. All things will pass away, but God's word, his love and kingdom will last. So friends, hang on to God and tell other friends about him, as he is too good to lose. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Thank you that even though that we there's a lot of weaknesses, there's a lot of problem in our life, there's a lot of flaws, you still use us, and through us, that your name may be glorified. Help us to live a life that is worthy of your calling and your saving. Help us to continue to be energized by your love and your grace, so that in all contexts, whether big or small, that we can have your wisdom and hold on to your leadership in our life. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.